the Inspired Change Summit, presented by Earth is Waking Up. This is your host, Jeremy Anderson. Today we're going to be talking about creating magic in our everyday lives with our special guest, Heather Nichols. Now, Heather Nichols was born and raised in California. She's the creator of Magnitude, never taking no for an answer. She has the capacity to see what she can add, create, tweak, change, and expand to make her life and the lives of those around her greater than imaginable. In 1996, Heather started a journey of studying and facilitating somatic psychotherapy, tantra, feminine leadership, Nia, which is a body-mind movement practice, kundalini yoga, and a wide variety of other body-centered healing modalities. In 1997, she started her businesses after receiving her master's degree in social work. Heather has owned a large movement studio and healing spa, run a private practice as a psychotherapist, taught mind-body movement, and facilitated countless workshops and trainings in the field of transformation. In the past 4 years, Heather's primarily worked with the tools of Access Consciousness, a body of work that creates change as quickly and dynamically as she always knew was possible. 6 years ago, she took a huge leap. With two babies in tow, she chose to get divorced. Using her wealth of tools and wisdom, she created what is now a phenomenal life, a thriving, long-term, long-distance relationship, a flourishing business, travels around the globe, more ease in her body, and total joy as a single mom. Today, Heather's work is largely informed by the tools and practices of Access Consciousness. Her extensive background in the healing arts and her own personal willingness to do whatever it takes to affect change. She brings to her work a fierce commitment to create joy, ease, and wealth on the planet in every area of life. Thank you and welcome to our show, Heather.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. As I mentioned before we started the call here, is that I've been learning a bit more about Access Consciousness in the past several months, and I've really, really been pleased by the power of these tools. And with several of the other modalities I've learned about, I really, really enjoy the power of the Access tools. Anyway, I love that I see a similar trend in your background of going through learning different modalities, getting a master's degree, and eventually coming toward Access. Mm-hmm. Could you, give us a little more on your background and how you were brought toward Access?
For me, because as you spoke about with in reading my my background and my bio, I have really been doing transformation work my whole career. So, since the mid 90s, straight out of graduate school, started playing with bodies and playing with somatic psychotherapy and teaching lots of workshops. And to me, one of the reasons I was really drawn to somatic psychotherapy is that it was really fast. Like, it wasn't, hey, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk through your problems for 10 years. And,
right.
A lot of, it was like, no, if we actually include the body in transformation, it's really fast. It's complete. It's like, there's so much more change that happens.
Yeah.
And so looking back, I realize now that I've always actually been really interested in fast change. Like, what is the fastest way to change? What is the fastest way to create more? And I've also sort of learned to embrace my impatience as a capacity
right.
of somebody who likes to actually create with speed and ease and magic and, so when I found Access Consciousness, I have always just studied every modality I could get my hands on that made mm-hmm. sense to me, that, made a difference in my life. And so I was always playing with more and different things and new things. And found Access and it was just like, wow, this actually is, for my life, it was so much more effective than anything I had ever tried before. It created change so quickly in every area of my life. And really, one of the things that was so different about it is that it actually really gave me tools. There's a lot of, like, as a psychotherapist, I did give my clients tools, but in a different way. And there's, like, it feels like with Access, there's this, like, tool, like, huge, enormous, infinite toolbox of tools that you can literally sort of pick up and use and watch them work right then and there in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
And to me, I am a pragmatist. You know, like I said, I like things that work fast. I like ease. I like speed. I like to have fun. And it just had all of those things that was like, wow, like this is creating so much more change, so much more dynamically with so much more ease in my world. So I would like to share this with other people.
Yeah.
And so that's what really had me sort of like switch gears in a way, or just, you know, sort of keep moving toward Access, consciousness, and the tools, and you know, whatever else I could be sharing with people. So
yeah. So how are you introduced to it? How did it just show up in your life?
You know, I somebody ran my bars, so the Access Consciousness bars is a hands-on energetic modality.
Yeah.
That where you just hold different points on the head, and literally you have all kinds of stuff that has been sticking you potentially for lifetimes, literally just get deleted from your world. And so it's pretty magical. And there's all kinds of research being done now on other stuff that it actually, you know, like that is traceable in the body and detectable and all of that.
Yeah.
So somebody, a friend of mine that I had known for a long time, offered to run my bars. And, you know, having been in the world of body modalities, meditation, yoga, movement, like I had been on a lot of massage tables, you know, I had received a lot of energy work and a lot of different types of body work. And my friend came over and ran my bars. And I was like, you just like poured bliss into my body, and I really need to know more about what you just did. And so a few weeks later, we were doing a bars class, and she was teaching the class, and I got some friends together. And you know, even that, like the fact that you can learn the Access Consciousness bars in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know anything about energy work. You don't have to even believe that it works. Like
yeah.
you just put your hands on somebody's head in these different spots, and it actually just works.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a push button system. Yeah. And so there we were, like, you know, learning the bars, and then, you know, the rest is sort of history. You know, I went from there and became an Access facilitator. I became a Joy Business facilitator, which is a specialty body of work inside of Access, and just really have actually made it my life. Like I adore the people that I get to play with. And I think one of the things that I love so much about it is it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like there's so much laughter and lightness and joy and ease and fun. And I really didn't have that before in my world. Like I felt like my work as a therapist was very serious. And,
especially in the academic
and it was like, wow, that we don't actually have to be serious to have change. Like,
yeah,
we like it's almost sort of like, what would it be like if we didn't take ourselves so seriously? You know, we might actually have more change, more joy, you know, more of what we're actually looking for.
Whoa, yeah,
yeah, so.
Wow, that's awesome. It was sort of similar for me several months ago. I got my bars run, and after that I was like, whoa, I think I'm gonna take this seriously, and I'm gonna keep going and see how my life starts to shift. And I've seen huge transformations in many ways since then. So out of all the stuff I've learned, I love it. Could you give any sort of examples on some of the changes that you've seen in your life or people you've worked with?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I could talk about that for days. I have a million examples. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, if I started with me, you mentioned the thing about being a single mom and choosing to get divorced. When my children were quite young. They were 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just this like sense in my world of there was something just so much greater for me in my life, that I wasn't creating, in my marriage. And it was just sort of like, wow, like I actually know that I could have more ease as a mom. I know that I could have more ease with relationships, more joy, with sex, with money, with business. Like I just sort of had the sense of like, okay, this is actually really not working for me. And it wasn't like, there wasn't any big drama. It was just like my ex-husband and I were like, well, okay, well, we're done. And we were willing to acknowledge that and just move on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this like, yeah, like, there's a huge life that I know is possible. And I'm not currently creating it. And I'm actually, it doesn't matter that I have little babies. I'm going to make the demand of me that I create it.
Wow.
And I sort of was already using the access tools, even though I didn't have access consciousness in my world at the time.
Right.
And just of like following the energy of what I knew, you know, something greater, and choosing that without knowing how I was going to create it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of my favorite things about access is like you really don't ever have to know how again to create anything. When you have these tools, you just use them and they work.
Yeah.
So I sort of set forth and was like, all right, let's take this whole thing apart. And I really did take my life apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, I think maybe 2 years later or so, I found access and, so wished that I had had it when, like, I was like, gosh, if somebody was running my bars during that time, that would have been amazing.
Right.
It was not the funnest time in my life. But when I found access, it, like, things had already started to change, but I was, two of the big areas where I, well, actually, there were three areas where I was, like, really demanding a lot more. One was my body. I had had a lot of weird stuff with my body. My body had just been stressed. Like I had severe seasonal allergies. I was sick a lot. I didn't sleep very well. I just had this chronic stuff. And I live in Boulder, Colorado. I live in what we call the therapy theme park of the world. So I had access to all the best homeopaths and acupuncturists and. And, you know, I made some progress, but it wasn't like I knew I could actually like really not have that as my reality, what was going on with my body.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing I was asking to change. I was asking for a lot more ease with being a mom, and I knew that I could actually enjoy being a single mom.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that was really demanding of me. Like, this has to be easier. Like, it has to be not only easier, but it has to be ease. And I don't care if everybody in the world tells me that it's impossible to have health and abundance and money and joy and ease and as a single mom, but I don't care how many people tell me I'm crazy. I'm creating that.
Yeah.
So it was money, parenting, and my body. And I will say, like, all of it has changed. My body is, like, incredibly happy. I don't have allergies at all anymore. I sleep like a rock. My body is really, really happy and alive. I never get sick, ever. I don't even remember the last time I was sick. It was years ago. And I have this, my body, like, just, I play, I enjoy it. I just feel super alive. And one of the things I want to say, because I know there's a lot of, but like in these types of conversations, there's a lot of, what I learned is that there's a lot of actual like points of view about bodies and what we eat and how we need to sort of control our bodies by eating the right thing. And, And I did all of that. Like, I really actually had, like, the crazy diets. I did all of them. I did, you know, I was doing all the crazy things that you can do, you know. And did the vegan, did the paleo, did the raw, did the grain-free, did the, you know, like, I did the cleanses. And none of it worked. And I don't even, like, I wouldn't even say that I have a great diet at this point. Like, I sort of just eat whatever I want, and it's not always, like, stuff that would even be considered healthy at all. but I'm willing to really listen to my body and what it's asking for. And it's amazing what has changed with that. So I won't ramble on about the other stuff, but just it all changed. Like, it's all changed.
Yeah. It sounds like you brought your life from where you felt like the magic was missing that you knew was possible.
Yeah.
And brought that in by making a demand, making some steps to change it, and then whatever the other steps are in that process. But somehow you were able to bring it in and change your life into more of what you've been wanting to create.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that probably made a big difference in your health as well. And there's, you know, I think that our body is a big indicator for us when we're not living the life that we know we're meant to live. It says, I'm not happy. I'm not healthy. You need to change something to make this work. Is there any more details you could give around your health and how that's changed?
A lot. I've told you what has changed. Like, I literally don't have problems with my body. Like, I just don't have any issues, you know? I used to be a huge source of every, you know, like, just, oh my gosh, it was like a full-time job, really. It's just joy now. But what I would say one of the biggest things, because this is a conversation that I actually really never heard until I started playing with Access Consciousness, which is really looking at judgment and our points of view. And because a lot of what I was functioning from before was basically trying to do everything right. And I was trying to really, like do the right thing, eat the right thing, give my body the right thing. Like, it was all about, like, the right, like the right diet, like the right diet for me. And you know, this is bad for you. This is good for you. You should eat this. You shouldn't eat this. Like, I actually drink Coca-Cola on an almost daily basis.
What?
I know. And people freak out. They're like, what? You're not, like, that doesn't make any sense, you know? But my body actually really asked for sugar. And that was something that I judged a lot. It was like, sugar is bad for me. I can't have sugar. It will make me sick if I have sugar, you know? So I would do all these, like, candida diets and, you know, all this stuff to try to, like, cleanse sugar and not have sugar cravings and, you know, but come to find out that people that tend to function the way that I do and the way that a lot of us do, which is, like, to be very active and to have a very active mind and to be, like, a creative being, like, there's so much going on energetically in our nervous system and in our bodies, and not like in a way that's, like, not a good thing for the body, but just, like, we sort of misidentify and misapply that as, like, well, we need to just quiet down and slow down. And my whole being is like, no, like, let's play, let's create, let's do more, you know? And when I realized that I was, like, I was never in question about my body, and what my body actually desired, was like, wow, I've been, like, listening to all these experts and doing what they tell me to do. And it's funny, cause I was a body person and I was so into, like, helping people get in touch with their bodies, but there was still this sort of underlying point of view, like if we just look at sugar, like there was still this underlying point of view that, well, of course you're going to listen to your body, but if your body asks for sugar, it's because there's something wrong. You know, like it, like right. Sugar is bad for you. Your body wouldn't ask for sugar because sugar is bad for you, you know. And now it's like, no, my brain requires a lot of sugar. And sometimes when I have a lot of change, my brain would like to have sugar. Yeah. And I drink Coke. And then my body gets really, really happy. You know, it's not like I'm drinking like gallons of it, you know.
Right.
But what's changed is that I don't judge anything about that. Like I don't judge the Coke or my desire for it or the carrots or my desire or the potato chips or like anything that I do if I don't sleep enough or, you know, like I don't judge it. I'm like, yeah. Okay, body, cool. Like show me how awesome you are. Show me how amazing you are. Show me what adventures can we have today. And yeah. If I really don't have a point of view about any of it, then I can actually receive the information, the awareness, the gifts. And I'm out of judgment. And judgment is one of the things that kills. It kills possibility. It kills our bodies. It's
totally.
Killing the planet.
It's one of the
even
worst
judging,
things on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Actually, like even judging Coca-Cola, you know,
yeah.
It actually contributes to the death of the planet. Like, and it's not because like Coke is good or bad or whatever, but I'm using that because I know that probably is bringing up a lot of stuff for people. I like to poke the bear a little bit. But it's like, what if any judgment, like whether it's a good judgment or a bad judgment, you know, any, yeah. Whatever that is, right? But any judgment actually contributes to the destruction of the earth.
Well, so why is that? Judgment, does it bring us together more as one, or does it separate us more?
No. Yeah, well, we say in Access Consciousness that consciousness or oneness includes everything and judges nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about that is that, like, even if you look at, like, something that everybody would agree is a bad thing, you know, there's an example that I love of, I can't remember, I think it was the AIDS virus that some researchers actually got curious and they were like, huh, you know, I wonder if there's any value to this virus. Like, I wonder if there's anything we could do with it to actually create something. And they started looking at it and they started doing all these experiments. And this has been a while since I saw a video about this. I'm not sure if I'm getting all the details right, but it's really just the point of it. That they started doing all these tests and they found, they used it to actually cure, I think it was like a little girl who had cancer. There was some rare form of cancer that she had and they tweaked the virus and they did this thing with it. And it was sort of like she was going to die. And they were like, let's see if this changes something. And it actually cured her.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's like, so the thing is that if you have judgment that the AIDS virus is always a terrible thing, it's a bad thing, it's a horrible thing, it has no value whatsoever, then that eliminates any possibility that it could actually be a contribution.
Yeah.
Which seems really weird to think, well, yeah, so how could the AIDS virus be a contribution? But sure enough, you know, it actually saved somebody's life. Like whatever it was that they did with it,
yeah,
saved this little girl's life.
This is a super important point. Could you, is it possible you've got a couple more examples just to make it clear
yeah,
how judgment is such a detriment to, you know, It takes away from our opening of the possibilities.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and some that are even like a little closer to home or easier to grok in a way.
Yeah.
A question. So in Access Consciousness, we ask a lot of questions. That's a huge sort of basis of this work.
Mm-hmm.
And questions really are the source for the creation of magic. And because the thing is when you ask a question, when you're truly asking a question, you are actually going beyond the conclusions and the judgments of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the fastest ways to get out of your mind and go to, okay, this is an infinite universe. If this is an infinite universe that we are absolutely a part of, there are infinite possibilities for everything. Like, there are possibilities that we could never grok, we could never fathom with our minds. Our minds are finite by nature.
Yeah.
So in order to go beyond the mind for how we would like to create our lives, we've actually got to go to question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you even look at, like, the great innovators of our time, like, they've all been intensely curious, right?
Yeah.
And unstoppable in a way with their wonder and their curiosity and their creativity.
Yeah.
And willing to be, you know, like Steve Jobs, like, so willing to be crazy and wacky and out of the box and controversial and, you know, and look at what he created. So,
mm-hmm. And the products haven't been the same since.
Yeah, and they're still really awesome for me. And so it's like, so anytime you are in judgment of anything, you can't actually be in question. So you stop creation, right? Because judgment is a source for creation. It's a source for magic. And where you go, hey, universe, like, show me, you know, show me what else is possible here, or show me what's right about this I'm not getting, which is a mm-hmm. great question to ask when you're, mm-hmm. when you're in a situation where you sort of feel like, wow, you know, this is, like, this can't actually, this is a horrible situation. I mean, like, when I got divorced, like, I could have actually been like, this sucks. This is awful. This is horrible. I have these two small children. I'm on my own. I'm stressed out and my body's freaking out, you know, but it's just like, you know, what's actually right about this I'm not getting? What's right about this I'm not getting? Now, you can't ask that question if you're in judgment of something. Like, if you're in judgment, if your business isn't succeeding, you know, or you're having a hard time creating money,
it's like
there
putting
might
on a whole different pair of glasses, seeing it through a whole different perspective, right?
Absolutely, yeah, because sometimes it's like your business is like, hey, yo, like, I'd actually like to be different. You know, do you think we could create something different here that's even greater, that actually would give you what you've been asking for? And so if your business isn't working, you know, or you're not creating money, it's like, what's right about that? Like, maybe there's actually something so much greater. But as long as you are in judgment of, it's not working, I suck, I'm terrible, I'm not good at business, my business isn't, you know, all the stuff that we go to, we can't be asking those questions.
Right. You know, something else that comes to mind for me is that our mind is our mind, because it's built on past experiences, is limited to those past experiences and conclusions that can be based on those.
Yep.
And when we ask questions, it opens up our mind to be able to get answers from beyond our mind.
Yeah, totally.
Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, you can't. You cannot. Your mind, like you said, like, your mind only knows what it knows. Like, it really only knows what it knows right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking to create something new, like, one of my favorite quotes is, if you want what you've never had, do what you've never done. because you if you keep doing the same thing, you'll keep creating the same thing. You know, so if you'd like to have change in your life and you're like, I'd love this area of my life to be different. Like, for me, it was like, my body, you know, is like, well, I have my acupuncturist and I have my chiropractor and I have my naturopath and, you know, and like, I had my things, you know, and it was, but there was a lot of like, well, this is off and you're this system and this, you know, and it was all, nobody went, hey, what does your body actually require?
Right.
You know, like, if we didn't have the judgments of, you know, if we weren't functioning from our minds, but we just went like, hey, body, hi, body, you know, what do you actually require, you know? And, you know, lo and behold, my body was like, well, one of the things was, I require that you stop judging me. If there's anything wrong with me, and judging the crap out of all the food that you do or do not put into me, you know, and controlling it. And actually, really what my body required was, hey, would you be willing to have a lot more fun? You know?
Right. But I've been giving you the right answers from experts
right.
A, B, and C.
Yeah, and so it's like your mind only knows what it knows right now. And
yeah.
if you would like to go beyond, like if you would like to create something you've never had before, then you have to start looking beyond your mind, beyond what you currently know. And you cannot actually think your way there. Like I used to think that I could think my way there,
right.
but you can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more of this work I do, the less of a mind I actually have, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I forget a lot of stuff, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, but I'm willing to function from my awareness, which is so much greater and, like, tapped in. Like, actually, it's like when you're being the awareness that you be, it's like you have the possibilities of the universe available to you. And all you have to do to start to receive those is to ask a question. Hey, universe, show me something beautiful today. You know, or what can I create today that I've never considered before? And then don't answer it. Like, don't answer it, because if you answer it, it's your mind. Let it be. Yeah, let the question, you know, brew and steep and play and collect energy and information out there in the universe. And you will have an intuition or an awareness, or somebody will say something, or something will show up in your life where you go, oh, that's one of the things I've been asking for. And I had no idea that it would look like this, but here
yeah.
it is.
So that's a tricky one. How do you tell the difference between looking for the answer or conclusion and noticing the possibility when it shows up?
Yeah, there's such a magic in trust. That is something that I've really cultivated more and more. And I've got to say that the bars, the access bars, is a huge way to also create more of this. Because it's also sort of deleting all those points of view and judgments that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you just sort of have less of that in your world from just receiving the energy work. Oh my gosh, now I'd see, this is funny, I don't really have much of a memory, so what did you ask me?
let's see if mine still works. Shido's busy petting the cat.
That's so funny.
Well, one of the things that popped in my head is the power of bars, because it's very true that what it does is it helps to run the energy in our bodies, which helps to free up those energetic blocks that start to settle in and crystallize in the place that
mm-hmm.
that prevent us from being in the more open
yeah.
energetic flow, right?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so, and the things that try to solidify us into the 3D world. And
yeah,
I loved it. It's so I think of bars as sort of like an acupuncture treatment. Because it taps into those meridians or the bars and helps to free that energy up, like acupuncture treatment does. And it helps
yeah.
us to be able to function outside of our logical minds, right? A little more
yeah.
or a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And helps
a
to bring, bring.
Well, it actually deletes your mind. I mean, really, like it actually takes. Because your mind is only judgment and computation and conclusion and points of view. And when you really start to play with this stuff, it's like, wow, like that, like I can actually create my whole life without any of that stuff. Like that actually limits me every single time.
Right.
And I'm willing to, you know, and you can just dabble or you can, you know, take a deep dive, like whatever's going to work for you. But for me, it's like the more I do this, the more magic there is, like the more I'm willing to not actually try to use my mind at all. You know, I mean, it's always there, you know, so it's like I don't really have to do much to get my mind to, you know, spin. but it's less and less and less all the time from all of the questions that I ask and all the work that I've done in the bars and stuff like that. And it's like, the magic of, because what we're really talking about is being. It's like you actually being you.
Yeah.
And because you aren't your mind. You're not your brain. You're not your thoughts. You're not your points of view or your judgments or your computations or your conclusions about how you are, how the world is, you know. And it's sort of it, like, if we look at it from a point of view of magic, it's like, I mean, it's actually quite time on the planet for a whole heck of a lot of magic. Like, it's the earth is not well, you know, and the earth will be here, you know, whether we're here or not, but like, there's not a whole lot of time on the earth where we are actually going to be a sustainable reality. And so if we actually would like to keep living on the planet, there's major changes that have to be made. And it's like, I sort of see it as like game on time for magic, because at this point, like if we make the changes that we can come up with our minds, it's not even really fast enough. Like, you know, we're sort of getting into emergency mode here with the health of our planet. And so that's another reason why for me it's like, okay, well, if I ask questions and if I really am willing to be me and function beyond my limited points of view, I'm creating exponential change on the planet. Like, there aren't a whole lot of people who are actually willing to function from that space, you know, and there's more and more every day, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what does that create, even just our willingness to be, you know, to be more, just to be more, you know, like to be able to even look at the trees and go, you're so beautiful. Like, I'm so grateful for you, you know, like the trees never get that, you know, my trees do.
My neighborhood. Gratitude is a great tool.
It is.
Helps us get into those higher frequencies. Yeah. So let's see. What could you give us any sort of intros into what it's like to create magic in our lives compared to the regular day-to-day logical world of, you know, the structures and everything that are typically in place where most people function from? How does it look different for somebody that's learning to bring magic into their lives?
My day sort of goes like, you know, I wake up in the morning and it's just, I start asking questions. Really, I talk to my business a lot. I love, business is a huge thing for me. I love business, and it's actually one of my my primary creative outlets. And so I'll just start talking to my business, like, hi, you know, what can I contribute to you today? What can I create today that I've never considered before? And the thing is, I also, one of the other things that I do is have a lot going on, a lot. Like, most people, if they had as many projects in the works as I do, would probably be quite overwhelmed and freak out. And but the thing is that I'm really willing to see everything that I create as like everything that I'm involved with creating as its own energy. Its own life force. Like, my business has its own energy. Each of my, you know, different creations in my business, like classes or programs or whatever, they all have their own energy. And I'm not solely responsible for bringing them to fruition. Like, there's a play there. It's like my business and I play together. And as part of that play, it's like, hey, business, you know, so I might have 30 projects that I'm involved with. And then it's like, which one is requiring my attention today?
Right.
You know, and then bing, I get a little awareness of like, oh, this. Okay, cool. I'm going to go play with that. And then it's like, oh, now there's this other thing over here and it's pulling me over here. And then, oh, now my body is asking for this. Oh, it's time to go for a run up into the woods.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm running in the woods and then I get this idea and then I come home and So it can actually look a little ADD. The way that this is just me, like the way that I create magic, but what shows up, I like to call it following the energy. And the question, like me asking questions, really creates this sense of flow in my day where I'm attending to the things that are asking for my attention. Which is how I can also have so many different things going on. Because I don't have to do everything that I need to do for all 30 projects in a day. Like, I trust that my projects will let me know, my business will let me know, the universe will let me know, like, hey, your attention is required, or like, your attention is required with your children, you know,
yeah.
or your relationship, or so, it is this extremely fluid space. And it's not that I don't have appointments and I don't have, you know, because I do that too. But it's just a sense of like, I wonder like how surprised I can be by my life today. You know, like what, like I wake up and I don't actually have a sense of like, this is what my day is going to look like. Because I'm not interested in that. Like, I want to get to the end of the day and be really delighted by what showed up.
Yeah.
But if I try to control it by going, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and then this, and this, and this, and this, then there isn't a lot of magic, you know?
That's so different than what we've been taught.
Yeah, extremely.
How can one make the shift? You know, learning to trust the intuitive flow energy, that we're not going to forget the important things. How do you really get started?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of trust involved that actually really gets cultivated over time. Like, so, you know, I've been using these tools really full on in my life for at least 5 years. And they really are like sort of my living, breathing, like I'm facilitating stuff all day long. And these are the conversations that I actually choose to be having every day.
Yeah.
And so in some way, shape or form, like that's happening, you know? And so there's this muscle that gets built of actually what I like to call it is creating beyond this reality, like beyond, like you said, everything that we have been taught, right?
Yeah.
And it is a sort of a rewiring or a rearranging of, you know, how we function.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so much fun to start to play.
Yeah.
And so I would say, like, for somebody who's maybe never heard of this work or these tools or whatever, like, what if you could actually just go, you wake up in the morning, now here is one, I've given you a million tools, which I do, and then people go, oh my God, it's too much. So one, if you take one thing from this conversation, okay,
yeah,
wake up in the morning, every day, universe, show me something beautiful today.
Mm.
Or you could say, show me something magical today, right?
Yeah.
You could just, that one thing, right?
Yeah.
And you can ask, what grand and glorious adventures can I have today? And just see what shows up, you know? And you might forget about it for the whole day.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you put a sticky note on your mirror in the bathroom or whatever, you know? And, you know, maybe then you remember 3 days later and you ask twice that day, you know? And then you go, oh my gosh, look at that. Like, I asked the universe to show me something beautiful and there was this, like, incredible butterfly that flew by me.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, I'll have more of that. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's see. So this magic, it sounds like, you know, you've been working in business, but a lot of people still have their everyday jobs, right? Where it might apply a little differently. How could somebody use these same tools, or what might it look like if they're using these same sort of tools in their day-to-day lives, going to, you know, a job where they're trying to be happy, but they're working maybe with people that aren't quite on the same level. But what might it look like if they're bringing some magic into their daily lives?
Yeah, cool. So again, I always go to question. Cause it's just an invitation, right? So, what if, what if you just even asked, like, what contribution can I be to the people that I work with? And again, like, you don't, like, this is where it's just so not logical, because you really don't need to answer it, you know? But just see that as an invitation, like, hey, I'd really like to experience a different possibility today with the people that I work with, you know, and contributing to them. And sometimes, because we have a lot of points of view too about what contribution even is, but sometimes it's actually your joy that is the greatest invitation for people. That is the greatest contribution. You know, like, if you're actually really willing to be happy and to be joyful, then there's a whole world that can open up in other people's lives. And you know, people might also be like, you're too happy. You must be crazy. You know, I get that a lot. Like, you're in denial. It's like, no, actually, I just don't do drama, you know. I don't have any interest in drama anymore. I used to.
Oh, that's another good. Yeah. Go
yeah. So you got to be willing to be judged for being too happy. But but yeah, like, what if you could just, like, choose, like, even just, like, when you're going to work, like, well, what would be really yummy for me to wear today? Like, what would make my body extremely happy today, you know? Or, you know, what would be really yummy for me to have for breakfast? Or, like, I mean, so it can be really little things like that, where you're just, like, actually really willing to choose something that's going to make your life better. And, you know, what would it be like if that can make other people's lives better as well, you know?
Yeah.
And it really is, like, with this work and these conversations, like, there's so, you know, obviously, like, I tend to always go really big, and because I love looking at the big picture and just going, like, wow, like, the whole universe, you know. but it's like, but the thing is that what's amazing about that is, like, really, truly, like, every time you laugh, you know, like, you're healing the planet, you know. So like, what if you could just, like, put on a funny video that makes you laugh and go, wow, like, I just laughed for 3 minutes and I'm totally contributing to the earth by doing that, you know?
Yeah. So real quick note.
It can be incredibly simple.
A real quick note there on the scientific side of things. When we laugh, it creates these hormones in our bodies, the oxytocin and I'm not the expert, but some of the other hormones are biologically created, and the receptors in our brain pick those up and tune into that frequency. And that also, so Institute of Heart Math has proven a lot of this sort of thing. But then the heart and the brain attune with each other, and then the heart can send out this happy frequency out to the universe. And this is one of the ways that we actually do change the world, by how we are changing ourselves. So whether we're being more happy or just being more love, it changes the world. And so, you know, what are we choosing in each moment that affects the whole world?
And, you know, I would say too, like, the thing is that it's really easy to hear this and go, yeah, whatever, like, that sounds really great. You know, and our minds are like, well, it has to be more complicated than that. Our minds love to complicate things.
Right.
Like, that's why people love drama, because drama is incredibly complicated, right? And we have this sort of belief on the planet that we require that for some reason, in order to be real or alive or whatever. But so I want to just invite you guys who are listening to this to actually go, like, to check in with yourself. And it's like, if there is something about what we're saying here that is actually feels like expansive in your world, or like bubbly or light, or bringing a sense of like, oh, I've always kind of wondered if that could actually be true. Or, like, I just want to invite you to listen to that. Because turns out what I've found out is that what's true for me actually makes me feel lighter. And what's a lie for me actually brings more density and heaviness into my world. And I've really learned to trust that, and just to actually go, wow, like if I hear somebody saying something or I'm, you know, part of a conversation or whatever, and there's something about it that feels like, even like, oh my God, what a relief. Like that happens a lot with people who hear, like, you know, the first time they hear these conversations or every time they hear these conversations, it's like such a relief, you know?
Yeah.
Like what if that was actually your knowing and your awareness of something that you may have always known is possible that you might have not have ever acknowledged. And here we are. And it's like, so would you actually be willing to trust that and to move toward it in whatever way it is for you? Maybe it's just by asking a question. But trusting that, like that sense of space and lightness and joy and ease and relief or whatever, however that shows up in your world. It's one of the most powerful compasses that you actually have.
Yeah.
And we are not taught to trust that. And yet it is when you're like, when I talk about how I create my day, it's like, that's really what I'm doing is going, where's the lightness? Where's the ease? Where's the lightness? Like, where's the joy? Where's the ease? Where's the lightness? That is the universe leaving breadcrumbs for me all day long of like, mm-hmm. Hey, everything that you've been asking for, like it's here and then it's here and here and here and here. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this life that I've created, you know?
Super helpful tool.
Yeah.
So I want to say real quick to everyone listening to the call or to the replay is if you go to earthiswakingup.com/Heather, HEATHER, earthiswakingup.com/Heather. If you go down and click on the special offer button, you can see the offer that she's got for us here. And, what she's offering here is it includes a lot of these powerful tools that that she's learned along her journey and is sharing with the world now and facilitating. She's a certified facilitator with Access Consciousness and has been working with people for years now in facilitating change in their lives. And I'd like to say that I know that she's a worker of magic, because I know that's what Access Consciousness facilitators are. And so just wanted to throw that in there real quick. But anyway, so this tool about light and heavy, and then if you could talk a little more, Heather, about drama and what that is and why we create that in our lives.
Yeah, well, gosh, I mean, it's really different, I think, for everybody. Like, some people create it because they actually, it makes them feel alive, or it makes them, or it brings an intensity into their world that they think that they require. So it really does depend on the person, but, you know, I mean, when we are functioning from our minds and from our points of view, like, because the thing is, whenever you're working from judgment or point of view, which is pretty much the same thing, there's a right and a wrong somewhere in there, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm right and you're wrong. Usually that's what it is. I'm right and you're wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And I'd like you to see how wrong you are or how right I am or, you know.
Which creates separation because it's me against
yeah.
you and competition mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Yeah. Totally, totally. Like, and that's the opposite of oneness, right?
Yeah.
So why do we create, why do we create drama? Like, that's like, I'm like, I don't really know. Like, I mean, why would we? No, but it's because sometimes we just think we're supposed to, you know, like
yeah.
we actually think that like, hey, if I'm going to change something. Okay. Well, here's one thing I want to say actually about judgment, which to me is drama in some way. We have been taught in this world that judgment actually is the thing that is going to change things, like that it actually somehow is a source for change.
Yeah.
If you look at, you know, any relationship that you've had or if we just even look at like what people do with their bodies, right? It's like, mm-hmm. I'm not happy with my body, so I'm going to judge it, right? Like, and that could be that you judge the way that your body looks. But like I was judging like the state of affairs with my body. You know, it was like, I'm sick, but there's something actually wrong with my body because I have these allergies and I can't sleep and I have all this stuff going on. There's something wrong with my body that I need to fix, right?
Right.
And it's like, so we have this intense addiction to anything that we would like to change. We immediately go to judgment because somewhere in our world, we think that if we judge whatever it is, that it will actually change. Or that if you judge somebody in your life for being a certain way, that they will change. Yeah. Right? And it's like one of the grand lies of our reality. Because judgment doesn't create change at all. I mean, some people might use it to control other people to do something different, but it's like, to me, that's not actually what change is. And so it's like, what if that's part of why we choose drama, is because we think we have to in order to get people to do something, or in order to get people to show up a certain way, or to get something to change.
Right.
Or you might feel powerless. Yeah. Like you might actually feel powerless in your life. Like my son has been doing this lately where he feels powerless with his older brother. So he goes into like tantrums. Like he's been throwing a lot of fits lately. Because it, like everybody in the room stops when he throws a fit. And that's his way of actually being in control, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, he's 8.
Okay.
And so for me, instead of actually going to like, what's wrong with you? You're throwing all these tantrums. I'm like, what is it that you're actually requiring? Like, what's right about this? What are you letting us know here? What is, you know, what's this about? and we're starting to actually get to some really cool awareness around what's going on with him.
Nice.
And now I see when he goes to that, when he starts to sort of escalate, it's like, oh, like he actually really just requires acknowledgement right now, you know, or he requires something. He doesn't know. And what's really cool is he's actually learning how to ask for it.
Nice.
Which is amazing. And to see what he's, well, like his self-awareness is like off the charts. It's so cool.
Awesome to have kids that are learning that while they're still kids.
Oh, man. Oh, my kids inspire me every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Asking questions like that, I can see why. I think most parents just make their kids wrong and invalidate them somehow and try to tell them the way they're supposed to be, and you know, because that's the way we've been taught.
Right, like you have to fit in, or if there's something wrong, like we need to fix it, right? We need to go to therapy. We need to, and that's drama too. Like it's not as big, and you know, it's not like his tantrums are definitely drama. Right. But like even me going like buying into it and going, oh, my God, this is so, there's something wrong. And we got to fix it. And we got to go to therapy. And like, it's like, that's all. And I'm not saying that that's not required sometimes. Like I had a really brilliant conversation with a play therapist the other day about him. That was really great. You know, so it's like those resources are fabulous, you know, when they're required. But I'm always in question, you know, of what is this? You know, another really great question. What is this actually?
Yeah.
You know, rather than just sort of deciding what it is, like, what is it? And what do I do with it?
Yeah.
So.
Great. So let's, is there some sort of a, I want to talk about the package one more time, but I wonder right after that, if there's some sort of a process or something you could walk us through that might give us a little taste of one of the tools.
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
There's
a million. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about the package one more time real quick and then do that. So I'll give you a chance to think through an example. So I just wanted to say again to everyone listening, if you go to earthiswakingup.com/Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, earthiswakingup.com/Heather, and scroll down and click on the special offer button, you can check out the page there and see what's in this package that Heather's offering us today. We've got, there's some telecalls that she's had with people that she's been working with that talk about this this concept of magic. So if you want to get a little more of a taste of what it would be like to create magic in your lives, feel free to check that page out and consider, you know, check in with yourself to see if that offer is something that might benefit you in your life, if it's something that resonates that might help you make the changes you're looking for. All right.
Yeah, and there is actually one of the things is a clearing loop actually that we put in there that we haven't even really talked about the access consciousness clearings, but there are these powerful verbal processes in access that actually clear a lot of stuff like really quickly. So similarly to the bars, the access consciousness bars, where you're doing a lot of clearing by doing some hands-on work. These are verbal clearings that actually really get to the root of a lot of stuff without you really having to know sort of what it is or how to get there. But you can clear it really, really dynamically. So there's a whole, and one of the things that you can do is one of the ways that we do clearings is actually destroying and uncreating. So which really just destroys and uncreates limitation. So destroying and uncreating, you know, one of the tools we use is like destroying and uncreating your relationships every day. Now, that's not that you're going to go destroy your relationship, but if you destroy and uncreate everything that you've decided that your relationship, like let's just take a primary relationship. If you destroy and uncreate everything that you've decided that it is and that it has to be and that it needs to be and that it isn't and all of that, because there's lots of points of view about relationships. Then you can actually wake up the next morning with like a brand new person sleeping next to you. and you, most of the time it gets a lot more fun that way. It's like, hi, who are you today? Who am I today? What adventures can we have, you know? And what would it be like if that's how our relationships were? And it wasn't like, hi, you're still the same old person who leaves your dirty socks on the floor, and take out the garbage, and
you have, you know, to fill this role that we've decided, you know, is part of this relationship.
Right. Yeah. But you're just like, oh, I'm actually totally still choosing you today. And like, what can we create? Well, how much fun can we have? If you destroy and uncreate your relationship every night before you go to bed, then it basically just like clears all the crap off of it.
Yeah.
And all your projections and all your ideas and all that stuff, so that you actually have the possibility for more creation, more adventure, more joy, more possibility to show up. So actually let's do that as an exercise. And we can sort of look at this, like at the light and heavy.
Great.
So if you, okay, so let's see, how do I want to do this? So just get us, as you're listening now, just sort of get a sense of your body. So you can close your eyes if you would like to, and just get a sense of your feet on the ground, your seat on the seat if you're sitting down, or if you're laying down, you know, your body on whatever surface it is resting on. And just get a sense of the sensations in your body right now, and your awareness of your body. And because one of the ways, so as you're tapping in, like one of the ways that we can actually really start to access this sense of light, what's light for you, what's true for you, and heavy, what's a lie for you, is to also include the body. So to actually notice what shows up in the body around this stuff. So let's see. Okay, so. So I'm just going to say, I'm going to ask you guys to say something and notice what happens in your body, okay? Notice if you have a sensation of lightness or heaviness. And it might not even be in your body. It could be just an awareness of energy as well. But notice what happens when you say the words, I want you to say them out loud. I am my mind.
I am my mind.
So for me, that makes me want to throw up. And I'm using something really obvious here, so you can just sort of get, like, it's like, I am my thoughts. I am what I think, right?
Yeah.
No. So everything that brings up, we're going to run a clearing statement here. Okay. Times a godzillion, will you destroy and uncreate all of that?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, puck and pod, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. No, notice that that energy has changed. Yeah, I'll tell you in a second. Yeah. So has the energy changed?
Yeah, it gets a little lighter.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So what I just did was I ran the access clearing statement, which is this crazy list of words that you don't have to know what it is. But it actually clears like many, 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 many layers of things. Everything you've decided is right, wrong, good, bad. Everywhere that you've created limitations and destroyed yourself as a result, all these decisions that we have around our judgments and our mind and our limitations get actually cleared. Like the energy that's available to be cleared gets cleared with this clearing statement. And that's part of what this the night clearing loop is the clearings that you can run. You can actually play it on very, very low volume while you sleep, or you can play it before you go to sleep.
That's great.
Okay, so let's try that the other way now. Okay, so now just tapping into your body, your awareness, some energy, and now say, I am an infinite being.
I am an infinite being.
And notice what happens. Does it become light, heavy, or neutral?
Instead of it feeling like a rock that sunk down on my stomach like the first time, this time it felt a lot more expansive.
Yeah, me too. So that is actually, like, that's what's true for you, you know. And like I said, if it doesn't show up in your body, don't fret. Like, you're not doing it wrong. You can't really do it wrong. You know, awareness of energy is something that we just sort of cultivate over time, too. So it might be that your body gives you information, or you might just go, oh, like I feel a little relieved, you know, to know that I'm not my mind, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So everything that doesn't allow you to be an infinite being, will you destroy it and create that?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pock, pod, shorts, boys, and beyond. Yeah. Well, that's really light.
So this is something like, it's similar to muscle testing, but better, because it's a much more quick and instantaneous feedback or answer, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're getting information, you're getting awareness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that what's so cool when you use this tool of light and heavy is that you're actually really starting to know what's true for you. Because there will be things that will absolutely be true for you that may not be true for other people. And this is where it starts to actually get quite fun, is when you're willing to know, you know, what is it that is true for you, and to actually follow that. Like when I was talking about getting divorced, it was like everybody in my life thought I was insane.
Right.
You know, they're like, you have babies, you're selling your house, you're moving, you're like taking your whole life apart, and you just finished breastfeeding, you know. And luckily I was just sort of, I've always been willing to jump off a cliff when I know it's going to create more.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, actually it's so light for me. Like, this is so true for me that this is actually, this part of my life is now done. And it doesn't matter that it's an inconvenient time, you know?
Yeah.
It's very, very true for me that there are these possibilities that exist in my life that I haven't created yet. And I was willing to listen to that rather than to, you know, everybody around me who was like, maybe you might want to wait a few years. And I was like, no, I will actually die.
Right.
You know,
I did that.
Like I will wither, you know.
I tried that route for a while until I started asking the question, you know, if this is my one life to live, which is the perspective I was looking at that point. And it was like, am I living the life I'm meant to live? And the answer kept coming back, no. And I want my kids to see me living with enthusiasm and passion and so forth. And they're not getting that right now. I feel like I'm cutting off my arms and legs, you know, parts of myself to fit in this relationship and make it work for the kids. And it took a friend a few times explaining to me that, no, you do not stay married for the kids. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So it's great to hear
and
this.
And you know, what's interesting too is that like, I actually know a few people who are choosing to stay married kind of for their kids, like, but it's actually a choice. It's not a judgment of like, I have to stay married because my kids will be messed up if I don't. But they've actually looked into their children's world and they've looked into their world and they're like, I know I'm actually going to get divorced, but I'm actually, it now isn't actually the time to choose it because of what it might create. And they're willing to look at the energy of it.
Conscious way of working through it.
Right. It's like, and the thing is, like, I bring that up because there really, really is not a right or wrong. Like, it's like, what's true for you is, wow, like, I actually would, you know, like, I'm not going to stay married for my kids. That doesn't work for me. It's not going to work for them. That was what was true for me, too. I was like, and I see the contribution that my divorce has been to my kids. It's been amazing for their lives. And, you know, to have friends that are like, yeah, I'm totally not going to stay married. And now isn't actually the time. And I'm willing to choose that really consciously based on my awareness of what's true for me, you know. And then it's sort of like, I mean, talk about magic, because there's not a person in the world who can tell you what's true for you. Or what's right for you, or what's going to create the most in your life. Like, you really have to follow your awareness. And I really just have never found tools that gave me, like, the capacity to expand that more and more and more and more and more every day.
Yeah.
Of trusting me, like, fiercely.
Super valuable point. And I think that might be the perfect way to close this call is to for everyone listening to consider the possibility of what it would look like to actually learn to tune into our own knowing, our own awareness. What changes would be possible in our lives if we had a true inner compass, a true north, that we could continuously, all through the day, each day, check in with and see what's right actually for us, not what somebody else is saying is the right answer or whatever else. But what would make everything work better for me, for this body, for me in this world, for this family, you know, if you've got kids. And like we've talked about, it doesn't always have to make logical sense. And being able to tune into knowing what would be most beneficial for us and the world without it having to make sense. Super, super valuable stuff. So to everyone listening in, again, earthiswakingup.com/Heather. If Heather's work calls to you, please check that out. She's, like I said, she's a miracle worker.
Thank you.
With this experience and these tools of changing lives, who wouldn't want to invite that sort of change into their lives? any more concluding thoughts, Heather?
Oh, just thank you. This has been a really delightful conversation. So thank you so much for having me and inviting me and everything that you're creating and being in the world. I'm really grateful and just super grateful for everybody for listening, because it's a very different conversation. You know, it's not for everybody. And yet, you know, if you're still here, it might. Yeah, I mean, anything that anybody's doing to create more consciousness and possibility and joy on the planet just really makes me very, very happy and grateful. So,
yeah. One of the things I love about Access work is working with doing crazy things with weird people. But you know what? It's blissful.
Yeah, totally.
Learning to be ourselves and being okay with being who we are, our real selves, and allowing that true light to shine through. It's such a wonderful place to be. So
yeah, there's some super fun yeah. people to play with. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Heather, for being on the show, for doing the work that you do, for being the contribution that you be to this world. And your kids, I think, are pretty darn lucky.
I
also want to thank the listeners for tuning in and checking out this work that for many people is very different than what we're used to seeing or hearing about. So I invite you, through my experience, through Heather's experiences, to open your minds and check it out and see what changes you can invite into your world. Thanks again, and take care, everyone. Much love.